and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, and I'm here with my partner, Jay White, for another episode. Jay, who do we have with us today?
We are lucky to have at the table with us today, Max Katz. He is from Farington, and he, well, I'm going to let you tell us, Max, what your title is there.
Okay.
And a little bit about, you have come from a very interesting food family, and I want you to go into that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, it would be my pleasure. So my name is Max Kast. I'm the wine director at the Farington House and Farington Village throughout, so all of our restaurants that we have there, and wine shop. And I come from a food family from Michigan, actually. So my father was a partner in American Spoon Foods in the 80s, and it's kind of at the forefront of the, foraging and also local movement, so to speak. He worked with Larry Forgione, who was pretty much epitomized local food in the 1980s in the New York scene. And we grew up around all of that, which was my brother, who you all know, Alexander. We were very influenced by that and the romance of food and the romance of food and wine and things. So that's pretty big influence on me and where I am now.
There's another sibling that's involved, too, right?
There is. So there's my sister, Jennifer, and her husband, David Lockwood. And they met at Zingerman's, which a lot of you know is a famous deli in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they've went on to my brother-in-law, David, is the partner in Neil's Yard Deli. Neil's Yard Dairy in London. I'm thinking about a Manhattan right now. And they've really kind of my inspiration in my life.
Is he British?
He's not. No, he grew up in outside of New York. So
how did he? Cheesemaker?
My sister makes cheese, so okay. she actually makes Alpine style cheese in London.
Wonderful.
So yeah.
For Neil's Yard?
Or no, for herself.
Oh, independently.
Yeah, independently.
Very cool.
It is.
That is a great family. So when you were growing up in Michigan, did you go up to Petoskey?
Oh, yeah, all the time. So
you get to pick fruit and do all the—
Yeah, we do all that. And actually, it's funny, when I blind taste, as I do with Liz, about once a week, it always reminds me of being a kid and going up to the American Spoon Foods kitchen where you have these big cauldrons full of jam. And it's like, raspberry. And that's my favorite is the raspberry or the boysenberry, too. And it's really just that sense of how smell and taste brings back memory is so powerful for me. And American Spoon Foods really is at the epicenter of that, because just walking through kitchens is so amazing, particularly when you're a little kid.
And
you're
great,
like,
muscle memory.
Yeah, it is.
It's I think that's a wonderful thing, especially. Well, that's why you taste so well.
Yeah, well, you're too kind.
So we have two cheese people in the family. How did you gravitate more towards the wine end?
You know, because it tastes good and also it's fun. I will say my father was also an avid wine collector, and he really enjoyed it. And my parents are from Germany, so we'd go to Europe every summer to visit relatives. And my dad's from Franconia, so we would—
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. Mm. So we would go to, whenever we'd visit my grandmother, we'd stay in this little town called Furka, which Furka is right in the center of Franken wine country. So I remember growing up, and we would stay at the Hotel Schwana, and we'd wake up, and you could see the vineyards all around, and it just seemed like the coolest thing to me. And
it is the coolest.
It
thing.
Is. No, it really is. And I will also say, I was fortunate, and this is kind of weird. We would go to a restaurant called the London Chop House in Detroit, and there was at that time a woman named Madeline Trifon, who is probably one of the most
Very first female
master sommelier in the world. And I remember seeing her as a little kid, being like 6 years old, and being like, that is the coolest job ever.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What full circle that's
And what's funny, I've never spoken to her and about it, I've never actually formally met her. So in my mind, I'm like,
She was working out of the London Chop House
in
Detroit?
Yeah, she ran the wine program in the 80s in the London Chop House.
She's a pretty amazing woman. She really is. Very inspirational.
Yeah. And there I was at 6 years old. I'm like, that's a really cool job.
Well, so that kind of brings us around to
what you're doing now.
Aiming for these days.
Yeah.
And the reason we blind taste, not just because we love it.
Well, that is the main reason, right?
Of course.
You've used that term a couple times now, so take a minute, step back, explain to the rest of us out there what a blind taste is. We don't put a blindfold on you and spin you around and make you... sometimes we do.
That would be really interesting, though. That would be a different approach.
In the name on the wine. Yeah. Sort of what it is.
So what we do, all of us who kind of study for the Court of Master Sommeliers certification, we blind taste 6 wines in 25 minutes, and we analyze the wines verbally. So we break down every single wine from color to the aromatics to how it tastes on the palate, and then we do an initial conclusion, then we do a final conclusion. And it's a method of deduction on basically finding out what the wine is not so you can figure out what it is. So it's like a little bit of kind of investigative work on wine.
Less of a parlor trick, much more of, I think, stating what the wine is not. I think that's an important thing.
Yeah.
Because people don't think that it's just some magic thing, but it really, there's a great deal of science and thought behind it.
There is, yeah.
So basically you're training your palate.
Yep.
And your sense of taste and smell. So when you actually go to take the exam, is it going to be structured the same way?
The exact same way. So
it's six?
Six wines, 25 minutes. And that's why I meet with Liz every week, because she is kind enough with her time to have me sit down with that time period and go through those wines and break it down.
Well, we're going to pick up on that when we come back from break, because it's a fascinating way to study. And what a fringe benefit. You get to enjoy some really great wine at the same time.
Exactly.
So before we go, Max, tell us a little bit about where Farrington is for those who don't know it. I can't believe there's anybody in this area that doesn't. But just in case someone's listening who doesn't know where Farrington is and what your hours are, please.
Yeah. So we are 8 miles south of Chapel Hill on 15501. You can find us. We have the Belted Cows and a silo. And we are open 5 nights a week between 6 o'clock. We seat between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock, Wednesday through Sunday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish, 97.9 FM.
You're listening to Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper, presented by Southern Season. Now, back to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper, and we're talking to Max Cast today, and he is from Farrington Village.
So, Max, we were talking a little bit about the blind tasting and what it entails, and of course, it's very different to do it in front of me than when you're sitting in a stark room with two master sommeliers.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay asked an interesting question over the break.
Yeah, I just wondered how you go about picking those 6 wines, and if you're doing this over a period of weeks, which you obviously are they the same? Are they different every? I mean, are there ringers in there?
It's a great question.
How do you do that?
No, I don't necessarily pick ringers. I think, and Max would agree with me here, what's important is that the wines be classic, and this is where theory is paramount.
Yep.
You need to know what makes a wine classic from the region that it comes from. There's maybe, would you say, 20 to 25?
25 grapes, perhaps.
That would be fair game. Yep. So it's important for me to pick a wine that is true to its region and would be a classic, be made in a classic style from that region. So it's not that there's a whole lot of choices. It's just honing the skills. And I can say, regardless of how humble Max is, he's a terrific taster and has a great grasp of the theory. And I think that that's what makes him so good at what he does.
Why is there a time frame? I'm not sure I understand the.
You know, that's part of the complexity and the difficulty of the exam. For all 3 parts of the exam, it's really how you perform under a lot of pressure. And given that you only have 25 minutes, that is an adequate amount of time to describe six wines and really break it down. So that puts you into that framework. It just adds a little bit of the pressure to it. Sure. And, that's why I think this exam's the hardest, professionally, the hardest thing I've ever tried to go after.
So when will you be taking
They final? Split it up this year. So this is my fourth time taking the exam. I passed the blind tasting in theory the first time I took it in 2011. And then I did not pass service 2 years in a row, so I reset last year. And with that, I have to take all three portions. So they split up the theory, and I passed theory in February of this year in Dallas. So I got an invitation to take blind tasting and service in Aspen in May.
It's three portions, theory, service, and blind tasting, as we talked about. Yeah. There's no syllabus. There's no list of things that you can read to study answers. It's all about understanding wine regions. It's understanding a fair amount of minutia. It's being able to accurately describe why wines grow a particular way that they do, what separates one from another. It's a great deal of information. And from the service end, it's anything possible that anybody could ask you.
In the entire
people
world.
Will never ask you.
Yeah. And I mean, with the service portion, it really is, as I said, blind tasting is really about getting into your theory and understanding your theory and making that bringing that to your senses. Sure. In service, it's taking that theory and doing what we do on a nightly basis and at the restaurant and being able to answer any question. What's the difference between the 2008 and 2010 vintage in Chateau Neuf du Pape? You should be able to answer that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy pastis. Like, how would you serve that to me?
Interesting,
yeah,
right,
what makes exactly. it interesting? And really getting people to enjoy it, right, and have a good time. So it's a matter of bringing forth a whole lot of knowledge in a way that's easy to understand, at the same time making people happy and having a good time, which is my main job.
That's it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it,
yeah.
right? So what is the Chateau, say it again, Liz, for me? Chateau Relais?
It's Relais and Chateau, and Relais. I think yep. that's Chateau. An important thing for us to bring up because
Definitely.
As we talk about the exam and how you're striving to get to these certifications, which I know you will get to very soon.
You're very kind.
It all sort of brings into what Farrington is. And it's a Relais and Chateau. And can you tell us a little bit about what that entails and what makes Farrington so special?
Yeah. So for me, Relais and Chateau is one of the coolest sort of organizations in the hospitality business. It is a collection of independently owned, privately owned inns and restaurants, which have to live up to a certain level of quality. And at a yearly basis, we have people come in and
the secret shopper.
Exactly.
Yeah, the secret shopper.
They come in and they judge us and see that we're up to all the standards. R.B. Fitch and his wife, of course, they founded Farrington in the 1970s, and they fell in love with Relais and Chateaus. And R.B.'s and his wife, they're like, we want to be one of these. So they built an inn on top of the restaurant, which started in 19 – not on top, but right. to go along with the restaurant. So the restaurant started in 1980, and they built the inn in between 86 and 88. And then in 1988, we became a Relais and Chateau. And all of this is kind of – goes into RB's vision. RB is about excellence and about, you can achieve things if you put your mind to it. And
so that's quite a distinction for it to have happened in 88.
It is. So we're one of the oldest Relais and Chateaus in the United States.
Fantastic.
We became Grand Chef Relais and Chateau with our chef Colin Bedford in 2011. And
that's a recognition.
It's a recognition for the restaurant. So their recognition for the world-class restaurants.
And so you're trying to gain that same recognition for the wine program?
They don't have – Relais and Chateau doesn't have a designation for that for the wine program. I hope maybe someday in the future they do. But it was – it's really – I mean, as a professional, I have certain goals. One of them is to be part of a team that's which has become a grand chef. One of them is to be part of a team that's become a five-star restaurant, which we did last year. And another one's to become a master sommelier. So for me, that's the big one that that's missing. So
well, you're well on your way, I'm sure.
And
again, for those who have not discovered Farrington Village south of Chapel Hill, please, I'm going to ask Max to give the address and the phone number and whatever he'd like to do to get you all down there.
So, well, most importantly, come visit our website, farrington.com. Farrington. And you can get all of our information there. And you can also follow us on Twitter at FarringtonNC. And you can see all the fun things which are happening there in the village.
You guys have some great events coming up. I know some wine dinners and new beers that you're introducing into the scene. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
That'd be great.
Well, when we come back, we'll pick up on that thought. So don't go away. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper, presented by Southern Season. Now, back to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Liz Cooper, and I'm here with my partner Jay White and Max Cast from Farrington.
Before we went to break, Max, we were finishing up a little bit of the history of Farrington, which is fascinating. But it's going to be Easter soon.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up this spring?
So for Easter, we always do a brunch at the house. It's really well done. It's a play of kind of traditional foods, but also a lot of different inspired dishes from Chef Colin. So I highly recommend anyone who has no plans right now for Easter to come out and visit. And then also coming up in the next couple weeks, we have the release of our Farrington Full Steam Spring Beer. So we do four beers a year to go along with the seasons and with Full Steam. And they try and have them be inspired by Farrington Village in some degree. We're going to have a Belgian Red Ale with Brewer's Spice as well. So it's going to be a little bit of lemongrass and a little bit of coriander.
So this pulled from your herb garden, and you guys have a spectacular herb garden.
Some of the beers we do that with, like our winter beer is a porter, which is made with coffee that we roast at Farrington House, and then made with pecans, which has been awesome.
And we sell that at the store as well at Southern Season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could pick up a bottle. It's pretty delicious stuff. Yeah.
So I'm sure that it's on the menu for the main restaurant, but there's another restaurant in town.
Yeah, so we have the Granary, which is our casual restaurant, kind of bistro grill style. Have a really cool little wine list down there, about 60 selections. And we also have Roost, which is our beer garden, which opens out. That's another thing that's happening, which is opening up in the next 2 weeks. And we have tons of live music out there, feature only local beer. And it's really a fun spot. On a beautiful day, there's no better spot in North Carolina to be.
That's right. You really feel like you're in a different part of the state when you get down to the village. It just opens up. It's magical down there.
Yeah.
So it's that time, Liz. We have a guest. He's in the hot seat. We have two questions that we always ask our guests to think about and answer for us. And Liz, you take the first one.
All right. So given the opportunity, you're at a you're going to sit at a dinner party, and you have your choice of sitting between two people of your choosing, alive or dead, famous or not. Who do you choose?
That is a difficult question. I mean, there's tons of people I could possibly think of. Mm-hmm. As far as famous people, I would say it would be interesting to sit between Julia Child and Miles Davis.
Wow. It's a lot of people have brought
Julia.
In.
Julia is a Julia, popular
yeah.
person.
And as well, musicians. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing, that food and wine definitely have that draw.
It would make for some amazing conversation. Particularly between Julia and Miles. I'd just sit there
absolutely.
And like see what happened.
Well, we've really enjoyed talking to you today, Max, and
likewise,
good luck on the exam. I guess I can call it an exam.
Yeah.
And also, we want to make a quick plug. Mass is getting ready to compete with the Top Psalm coming up here in May.
That's
so
right.
Best of luck with that as well.
Stay tuned.
Thank
we'll
you
have
very
Max
much.
Back afterwards to celebrate with him, I'm sure. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Join us again next week for another show. Thank you for listening.